Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Know that he is our all in all. Yes, He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. For we proclaim today that he has all power in his hand, and that there is nothing too hard for him to do. Father, we just thank you again today for this broadcast. Yes, we want to welcome our radio audience today for tuning in to the Hour of Power broadcast. You still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is live on the air. Yes, we're getting ready to go before the throne of God. But I want you to know today that we have a word from the Lord today that's going to make your heart rejoice and for you to be more aware of the coming of the Lord. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Father, we lift your name up high. We give you all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor. For your words say, if I be lifted up, God, you said that you will draw all men unto you. And today, God, we are proclaiming, God, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, that men and women, boys and girls, God, that they will be drawn unto you. God, that they'll have an ear to hear, God, what the Spirit is saying unto the church. God, that they can be revived. God, that they can be restored. God, that they could be in that place, God, that you have called them to be. And God, I ask you, Lord God, even now, God, to touch them. God, to touch every individual under the sound of my voice. Touch them, God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Father, call the blessings of you, God, to be upon them. Father, bless them, Father, in the going in. Bless them, Father, in their coming out. And Father, we forever bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and I'm here to proclaim the living Word of God. Today, we're going to be studying from the New Testament, and you're going to find us in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 24th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to talk about the signs of the second coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to just get ready, prepare yourself, prepare your heart to receive what God has for you on today. Remember, what God has for you, it is for you, so that you can be built up, so that you can be strengthened, so that you can know that he is God and that he is God all by himself. So as we began to read from that 24th chapter, beginning at that first verse, the word of God says to us today, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him but to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? I believe that this is the question for that the people in that you have in your mind on today. When will be the end of time? When will be the time of Christ's return? The Bible says that he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. We see here in that first verse, as Jesus had went out and he had departed from the temple. His disciples had came to him and to show him the building of the temple. I believe today that there are people that are looking at the outside. They are looking at what man has created. They are looking at what they are worshiping in. They are eyeing at the church or the of whatever edifices or whatever the building it may be that they're worshiping in. And yes, we give glory and honor to God for every synagogue, for every church that the Lord God has allowed us to have. But our hope and our confidence is not in the building that we are so blessed to be in, but our hope and our trust should be in Jesus Christ, who made us, who created us, who put the breath of life in us, even as he put the breath of life into Adam and made him a living soul. So today, as we see how the disciples began to look at the temple, they began to look at the building of the temple, and Jesus said to them, "See you not all these things?" He said, "Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So therefore, we thank God again for every stone, every brick, everything that God has allowed man to build, but to be able to worship in, is a blessing. But we must take our eyes off of the things that we can see in the natural and put our heart and our mind and our soul upon the Word of God. That we must seek the Word of God, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto us. See, we see that as Jesus let the disciples know, he said that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So that which was put together, that which looked so in order, that which made a difference in the lives of people by just being able to see it or to walk in it or to sit in it or to come in and pray in it or any other thing that we lift up so high beside living up Jesus Christ, we must not put our trust and our confidence in these things, because these things that we see are temporary. They are temporary. They are something that is only for a while. Jesus let them know that these things, that they shall be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of shall these things be? That's the question. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? So we see here that they wanted to know, when shall these things be? The Bible let us know that the angels in heaven do not know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. But as we said before, he is coming. And the word let us know that every eye shall see him. They wanted to know, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So here Jesus, he heard their question. He knew that they wanted to know when these things was going to happen. He knew that they wanted to know the sign of his coming, and he also knew that they wanted to know when was the end of the world. And Jesus said to him, just like he's telling us as well, he said to take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, there are going to be people that was at the time when Jesus walked the earth, when the disciples walked the earth. There are people as even in 2013 and before then and the days after that they're going to come and they are going to proclaim that they are Christ. They are going to do it with signs and wonders. But Jesus is saying to them, as he's saying to you today, to take heed that no man deceive you. The Bible said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. If we don't know truth, we are going to be deceived. If we don't know Jesus, then we are going to be deceived. The Word of God said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The Word of said, whom the Son has made free, is free indeed. So he's telling them to take heed that no man deceive you. That lets us know that there are going to be people that's going to come in the name of Jesus. I heard not too long ago that they had gone to a court because a woman and a parent that had named their child the sacred name, the name that is above every name. The law did not want them because they had sense enough to know that this is a holy name, the name of Jesus. So therefore, the parents did not fully comprehend or to know that the Bible said at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. And there is not but one Jesus. You may call an individual of Jesus, but I can assure you that they are not the genuine J-E-S-U-S. They are not the genuine C-R-I-S-T. to Jesus Christ. Thou art not the one that died and paid the price for you and me that we can have a right to the tree of life. They are not the ones that bore the thrones upon their head. Oh my God. They are not the ones that was pierced in their side. They are not the ones that have taken stripes for our sickness, for our diseases, for all the things that we encounter and have encountered. They are not the one. So it's a dangerous thing to make ourselves or to be on the same, have that same authority that God had. Yes, God has given us authority. Yes, he has given us power. And yes, we can walk in the authority and the power of Jesus. But we want to walk that straight and narrow path. We want to be in line with God's word. We don't want others to be to stray from knowing the true and the living God. God let us know. He say, I am that I am. And there is not another I am. Jesus Christ let, and we read in the word of God, when God was speaking to Moses and he wanted to, when the people asked who is he was and who Christ was, that he is I am, because he was letting them know that I am, is the one that sent him. So we must take heed, even in this year that we live in, that the spirit of confusion will not rest upon us, and that we will do those things that will not bring, that will not bring glory unto God. The word of God says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess before him. But we see in the word of God, as we continue to read that 24th chapter and that fifth verse, the word tells us again, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, I'm agreeing with the word of God, for the word of God said that many was going to come in his name, and there are many going to be deceived. And he also said, and you shall hear of war. Now, the Christ is teaching us. He is showing us how the people, the deceivers, those that are trying to say that they are Christ, how they're going to come and how they're going to deceive the people. But he said in that fifth verse, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Not a few, but many. Why are many going to be deceived? Many going to be deceived because they are not reading the word of God. They're not studying the word of God. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So when you know truth, you're going to be able to walk in truth. You're going to be able to know truth. You're going to know that Jesus Christ is truth, that his word is truth, and that he is true, and whatever he say is true, and whatever he do is true. So therefore, when we began to know him, to know Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, then we're not going to be among those many that's going to be deceived. For the word of God says, for you shall hear war and rumors of wars. The word says, see, that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So no matter how many times you hear wars and rumors of war, see that you be not troubled. For all these things must, the word of God say, must come to pass. But the end is not yet. I believe that the disciples, they was wise when they came to Jesus. That's why we as people of God need to be wise and come to Jesus. They came because they wanted to know from Jesus Christ. They knew that they were going to get a straightforward answer. They knew what Jesus was telling them was going to keep them from being deceived. Many times people are being wrapped and tied up in the traditions and the things of this world because of the fact that they do not know Christ. They do not know that there is a spirit of deception all around us, and we don't know whether to turn to the left or the right. Why? Why don't we know? We don't know it because we don't know truth. We don't know it because we don't have that confidence in him. Why we don't know it? Because we are not living that faith life. Why? Because we haven't put our total confidence and faith in God. So that's why that when we can read the word of God, it is telling us, the word of God that is written for us today, that there are going to be many that are coming in Christ's name. And he said that there are going to be many that will be deceived. And he began to tell us in that seventh verse. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. They're going to be in various places. Yes, we are living at that end time. But yet we have to keep in mind that Jesus letting us know that we don't know the day. Jesus didn't tell us that he is coming back November the 5th. He didn't tell us a precise day. He didn't tell us that hour that he is coming back. But he told us to prepare ourselves. He is giving, even as he is speaking to the disciples, he letting them know the sign, because that is what they came and that is what they was requiring. He said, when we look back there on that third verse, it says, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? So we see from there that the word of God letting us know that what our concern, we shall know. He is telling us the things that are going to happen, but the end is still not yet. Here on that last verse that we read, it says, for nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and in diverse places. We have heard. We have seen on the network. We have seen on the internet. We have seen on the worldwide channel. We have seen things that are happening in other countries. Here in the United States of America, in big cities and big states, how the loss of lives, how buildings that once had been erected, how they have been torn down and how they have been destroyed. So what we're saying to you, don't look at the outward appearance of things. Don't worship the things that you see, because yet you can, your mindset and your eyes and your heart could be upon these things instead of seeking the face of God. For the word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, he said that he will hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin, and he said that he will heal the land. So we began to look at that a verse. It says, and all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, when we began to read the word of God, we've seen there in the New Testament, and we see in the word of God how disciples have been beaten for the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is power and there is authority in the name of Jesus. And if you are a believer, and if you can stand up for right and righteousness, and if you know who you are in Christ, and if you know that no weapon that formed against you will prosper, and if you know that you are blessed and you're going in and you're blessed and you're coming out, and that you are not the, that you are the head and not the tail, and that God, he will be with you even as he was with his disciples, that no weapon that for against you will prosper according to Isaiah 54 and 17. But yet you are going to be hated because you love Jesus. You're going to be hated because you're going to walk in the authority and you're going to walk in the power of the Most High God. And you're going to proclaim his word. Yes, the word of God says that, and then shall many be offended. We live in a society today that many are being offended, not only in the world, but in the church, in the body of Christ, in the workplace. I mean, people are being offended right and left. And the word of God tells us, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Can offense bring about betrayal when you know that you have been offended and the one that coming against you, that you will betray them, or they will betray you because of their your offense, that you can't take it, and you have been, your mind have not been renewed the way that it should when things things come against you, that you will turn against the word of God, turn against God, turn against his people. Do you remember when the disciples, how they walked daily with Christ? I mean, they loved God. You cannot say that they did not love God. You cannot say that they wanted to please God, but there comes a time in our lives that it takes a daily walk with Christ when he can build us up and he can strengthen us and he can make us those men and women, boys and girls, that he will have us to be. But the disciples at this time, they wasn't able really to walk the walk. And when time came, when they came against Christ, many of them fled because of the fact that they wasn't strong enough to command the moment and to be able to stand up for Christ. That's why it's so important for us to be able to know who we are in Christ. And for Christ we live. For Christ we'll die. We'll die to the things of the flesh. That no matter how offense comes, no matter how things come in our lives, we have to not turn on Jesus Christ. No matter what we go through in life, we have to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor will not be in vain. Just because you go through trials in your life, do we betray or are we so offended because of the fact that we say that we are who we are and don't want to go through some things in our life? No. The word of God let us know, even as he suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. Yes, there are some things as being Christians, as being believers, as being those foot soldiers, as being mighty men and women of God, that we are going to go through. If it was good enough for Jesus to go through, it's good enough for us. Is it a good feeling? No. No, it is not. But for us to be able to reach the latitude and to be able to have that attitude that we need to be able to stand for the name of Jesus, then we have to be proclaimers and we have to be witness and we have to be able to not let the spirit of deception come within the borders of where we are, the borders of our mind, in our heart, that we cannot walk in offense, that we cannot be deceived, because the word of God has already talked to us this morning and let us know that many are going to be deceived. Oh, sometimes we just can't take it when people talk about us. Sometimes we just can't take it when we think that those that are standing with us somehow have strayed away. Sometimes, why? Because we have put our confidence and our faith and our trust in those individuals instead of putting our faith and our confidence in God. So as we go and as we see the word of God as it is, it says in that ninth verse of that 24th chapter of Matthew, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Are there many false prophets in the world that we live in today? Yes. Are there many false prophets in 2013? Yes. Are there many hold on to the truth of God's word. We need to know God's word like never before. We got to know that we serve the I am that I am. Because there will be false prophets. They shall rise up. They shall deceive many. And the word of God tells us, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, come on, listen, the love of many shall wax cold. When you was having and being around people that was supposed to be walking in the love of God, and you're going to see many that the love that they supposed to have is going to wax cold. God wants us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And when we see people, when their love has waxed cold, does that say that our love has to wax cold as well? Does this mean that we get out of the safety net of Christ? Does that mean that we are imitators of the deceivers? Are we imitators of those that are not walking, that are walking according to their own righteousness, but not the righteousness of God, which is by faith? No, that means that we grow stronger. That means that we are better witnesses. That means that the more that the others, when they are waxing cold, that our heart is turned to Christ even in a greater way. But listen to this. Listen to this, what the word of God said. It says in that 13th verse, but he that shall endure. Come on. This is what the Lord wants to encourage you today. Come on. It says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. No matter what you go through in this life. Because as believers, we are going to go through some things. Every day is not going to be a flower bed of ease. It's not going to be milk and honey every day upon this earth. We're going to go through some things in our lives. But we have to hold on to our faith. You say, Dr. McCoy, what is faith? The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to hold on to the word of God. You got to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your spirit. You got to stand in the gap for others. You got to believe God. You got to know that God, that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. But as the word encourages us, I'm coming to an ending on this this teaching on this morning. But he said, but he that endures, come on, those that are steadfast, those that are immovable, those that say, for Christ I will live, Christ I will die. I'm dying to the things of the flesh. I'm dying from being mean. I'm dying, and I'm going to die from being contrary. I'm going to die from whatever walk in the flesh that I've been walking in. Whatever it is, I'm going to die to those things that Christ can arise inside of me. Oh, sometimes, yes, I may shed tears. Sometimes I may go through things in my life. But yet, I am a survivor. I am going to endure, and I'm going to endure not for a little while, but I'm going to endure unto the end. And the word of God says that he that endured unto the end, the same shall be saved. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Come on. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God, for another day. Oh, God, that we could come before you. We thank you, God, for another hour, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come and, God, we can proclaim your word. And Father, we ask thee, Lord, even now, as those that are listening around the world, as those that are hearing the word of God. For the word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So today, God, we pray today that those, Lord God, that have been hurt, that have been deceived, God, those, God, that don't know truth, and God, those, Lord God, that desire to be strong, God, that you would touch them like never before, and God, that you will walk in them, and God, that you, Lord God, will magnify yourself in them, and God, that you will cause them to go to that higher height and that deeper depth, that they will soar and soar, and they will soar in you because of the anointing, because of your power, because of your spirit, because of your word, because of the betrayer, because, Father, in the name of Jesus, because they had endured as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask the God to touch them even now. God, encourage the hearts of the people today. God, cause them to know that they belong to you. And God, that you will not leave them. God, that you will not forsake them. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. And God, those that are not saved. Lord, you said if we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. God, you said, Lord Jesus, that we shall be saved. So today, we proclaim those that have heard the word, those that have repented of their sin, those God has given their lives to you. Father, I pray, God, even now that they become that new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to cause them to live this life that they can live again and again in thee. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this hour of power broadcast. May the blessings of you, God, continually to be upon the hearers and the doers of the word. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please tune in with us on this coming Wednesday as we again proclaim that Jesus is Lord. He is the God that we can rely on. He is the God that we can depend on. He is a God that will make a way when it seems to be no way. May God's richest blessings be upon you, is our prayer.